Well, in the late 1800s, a large group of European pastors came to one of D.L. Moody's Bible conferences in Massachusetts. That's D.L. Moody. What would you think if I grew that kind of a beard out? Awesome. Woo. This was in the late 1800s. Again, a large group of European pastors came to one of his Bible conferences in Massachusetts, in the U.S. And as was their custom, these European guests put their shoes outside of their dorm rooms at night to be cleaned by the hall servants. That's just how it worked in Europe. Of course, this was America. No hall servants, no clean shoes. So determined not to embarrass his brothers, Moody first tried to enlist help from some ministerial students, but he was met with silence or pious excuses. Eventually, Moody gathered the shoes, he cleaned and polished them in his room by himself. Moody was a man with a servant's heart. God wants his church to grow. We've been talking about that all month. Really, all summer leading up to now, God's just been laying the groundwork and giving us his heart for his church. And God wants his church to grow. He's designed his church to grow. And why is church growth important to God? Because as the church grows, every single person that's coming into the church is a new person coming into the family of God. That's why growing his church is important, because growing his church is growing his family. And God loves people. And Jesus came in order to rescue people out of darkness and to rescue them out of being spiritual orphans and to bring them into the light and to bring them into the family of God now and forever. That's why we're talking about growing the church. It's God's heart. He wants his family to grow. God is looking throughout the whole earth. Now, and I'm going to take 2 Chronicles 16:9 and kind of use it as a paraphrase here to tie this together. God is looking throughout the whole earth for a group of people called the church, the greater church, the greater body of Christ. He's looking all around throughout the whole earth for a church that gets his heart, for a church that has his heart for other people. He's looking all over for those kind of people that are willing to love like he loves, that are willing to welcome in like he welcomes people in. And when he finds that church, when he finds that group of people, he's going to show himself strong through that group of people. And he's going to do what he did to the early church that we've read about in the book of Acts. Remember Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 47. That church devoted themselves to loving and living God's way and following his recipe and his ingredients for church life and for doing life together and loving one another and loving others. And it said the Lord added to their number daily those being saved. God is looking all around for church, for a gathering of saints that have his heart, that are willing to just go after life and love one another and love others his way. And he's going to add to their numbers, bringing people into his family through that group of people. That's exciting. This week we're going to be looking at one final ingredient. Now there are many other ingredients, but this is the last one that we're going to focus on in this talk about growing God's church. One final ingredient that is present in the growing church. The growing church is a church that fully embraces and lives out that Christ-like precept and that Christ-like character of servanthood. I love Don Shrine's emails. Whenever he sends me an email, he's one of our elders here. Raise your hand, Don. Say hi. Don's one of our elders here. Fiery man of God. Awesome. Oh, anyway, at the bottom of his email, every one of his emails, it talks about servanthood. Servanthood. Every time I see that, I'm going, yes, that's right. Servanthood. God's looking for a church to fully embrace his character of servanthood. The growing church is a serving church. That's the title of today's message. The growing church is a serving church. Now, understanding this, the Apostle Paul made this plea to the church in Philippi. It's found in Philippians chapter 4. Being convinced that the growing church is a serving church, Paul had these words for the church. He said, if you, and he's talking to the church, You can even take this personally right now. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort in His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness, if any compassion, in other words, if you've at all been impacted by the love and the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, if you're affected by the grace of Jesus at all, then make my joy complete. Make my day, Paul's saying. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And this is what Paul now says it looks like to live this way, to have the love of God, to be unified, to be Christ-minded in us being a church. This is what it looks like. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. This is what it looks like to get it. Consider others better than yourselves. Verse 4. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Our love for God, our Christ-likeness, and the evidence of our regeneration is displayed in our willingness to prefer others and to serve them. That's what we're seeing in this passage. And that's what we see in God's Word throughout it. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus said these words. He said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so the growing church is grounded in the understanding that living to serve others is our call. That's our call, to be like Christ, serving others. Jesus sheds more light on this subject, on this critical ingredient, critical component to being believers who are going to really be used by God. He says this, he says, "My command," this is found in John 15, verses 12 and 13. "My command is this." This is Jesus. Now listen to this. Jesus is saying right now, "My command is this." How am I supposed to live? What am I supposed to be doing? What does it mean to be a Christian? Okay, "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Loving Jesus' way involves sacrifice. Loving Jesus' way, doing what he's called us to do, being who he's called us to be, is servanthood. Loving his way. Peter reminds us that serving one another is a primary method of showing God's love to one another. See how we're getting Jesus talking to us here about this? We're getting the amazing Apostle Paul, who wrote half the New Testament, talking to us about this. We got Peter telling us this. Check this out. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11. "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." Now, how do we love? Peter's going to show us how to love deeply like this. Offer hospitality to one another. He's talking to fellow believers, to those believers in the church. That's the context of this. He's writing to believers and how they should treat one another in this case. He's saying, how do we show love? The kind of love that covers a multitude of sins, that deep kind of love, is we're hospitable. We show hospitality to one another. Without grumbling, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Now, we had that word come forth earlier. Jimmy brought that word about how we're all gifted. And don't believe the lie that you're not gifted. We're all gifted. The Apostle Peter is telling us to use those gifts. Whatever gift you've received, and you have received gifts from God, use those to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. And so we love God's way by serving one another. And we've all been gifted. We've all been called to use our gifts, spiritual gifts, natural gifts. I'm looking at Ed Stockton right now. Being reminded, there's a man that's using his natural gifts. He's been gifted by the Lord to build things. He builds things. He built our coffee station. He built our open arms giving box out there. I mean, the thing's a tank. If you tried to lift it, don't want you to get hurt. Built our offering box at the back. He's building another piece for us for our connection counter. The man is gifted. I mean, down to the millimeter, hundred thousandths, I don't know. But he's gifted, and he's using his gifts for the glory of God. You are gifted. I'm here to tell you right now, you're gifted. You have gifts. God is praised and glorified when we use our gifts to serve one another. The growing church is a serving church. So I ask you, as it's already been brought forth this morning, so this is easy, what are your spiritual gifts? You need to know them. You need to be seeking the Lord and finding out. Do you have particular talents? Maybe even leaders in the church here, some of the elders may have come up to you and pointed out some talents. And maybe the way that they did it was saying, hey, have you ever thought about serving over here? Have you ever thought about teaching this? Have you ever thought about helping over in this area? You know what that is? That's the Lord highlighting some gifts, some passion, some capability in certain areas that He's blessed you with so that you can use that to serve others. Do you readily gravitate towards one ministry or another? Do you have a heart for the kids, for what's going on in their lives? Think that's just an accident? Your flesh doesn't want to go and change diapers and help a bunch of kids. But the Holy Spirit and God's heart working in you and through you is doing that. He's drawing you into stepping into something pretty fantastic and exciting. It's important to know your gifts and to use them to serve others. That's what God's Word is talking to us about. If you don't know your gifts, we have classes. One of them was mentioned this morning. We have Discovery 301. It's part of our Belong Track to help you get connected and alive in the body of Christ. It's our Belong Track, helping you belong. Discovery 301. Find out your gifts, your passion. We have an ongoing class that meets on Saturday nights. It's all about going deep and finding out how God gives us gifts and how He's filled us with talents and how He's calling us to use those for Him. That's on Saturday nights. In fact, the Sakiras and Bus and EJ, raise your hands, y'all. They teach that class. It's awesome. If you don't know your gifts, you need to know them. It will empower you and excite you for the glory of God. So, if you're not using your gifts, find a specific area of ministry in which you can serve. In other words, just dive in and start serving, even if you don't know your gifts. I don't know where I fit. Doesn't matter. Dive in. Do you think D.L. Moody, do you think that he had the spiritual gift of cleaning shoes? Was that his spiritual gift and his calling in life? Or did he simply see a need and want to serve others and to bless them? It became his spiritual act of worship. And God was glorified. And others were blessed as a result. Sometimes our spiritual lives, I find anyway, it's happened to me. Sometimes our spiritual lives can become stagnant. There was a season, and I'm talking about like a 10-year season, like a decade season, where my spiritual life was stagnant. It wasn't yesterday, so you don't need to worry and start running for the doors. But I was stagnant, distracted, focused on other things. I was lacking really that the Spirit moving in me. I was dry and empty. I was there for a decade, spiritual stagnancy. Why? How can this happen in our lives? Those who've tasted and seen, those who are redeemed and filled with the Spirit. How does this kind of stuff happen? I want to submit one reason. There can be many reasons. But I want to submit that one reason, as we're seeing in Scripture here today, is that when we fail to share, when we fail to give the abundance of what we've received generously from the Lord, we can become stagnant and empty and dry. It's easy to fall into this trap. It's easy to fall into the habit of just receiving from the Lord, wanting more from God, receiving more, and then just stopping there instead of being those channels, those distributors of God's goodness as we were created to be. Easy for that to happen. So if it's going on in your life right now, you're not alone. I've even been there. We've all been there at some point. But we don't have to settle for that. We don't have to just say, well, that's just the way it's going to be. Jesus said, it's recorded in John 13:34, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. How did Jesus love? The first way that he showed how to love was he showed up. He showed up. Think about it. I want to wrap this back into not being spiritually stagnant and how to come alive in God. How to be spiritually alive, full, and like super excited. So let's look at Jesus. He's our example. Jesus, first of all, showed us how to do this, how to live this way, because he showed up. He stepped down from his place of honor and glory at the right hand of the Father. He stepped down from that very comfortable high place. And he came down, became a man, and he showed up to become an outlet, a distributor of the love of God. He showed up. You want to make sure that you're not spiritually stagnant and you're experiencing all that God has. Show up. And I'm not just talking about showing up to church meetings. I'm talking about showing up in places where you can serve others. Step away from the television, from the football game, from, you know, whatever else it might be. Step away from those comfortable places that we so gravitate toward. Step away from that place where you think, I got my life all figured out. It's comfortable. I know what to do. My schedule's all figured out. Step away from your comfortable schedule and show up. That's what Jesus did. What else did Jesus do? How did he show us how to love one another and be alive, not stagnant? He served. He showed up and he served. The servant of all. He came to be a servant. Not to be the one who everybody would serve. He showed up to serve. What else did he do? He gave. He showed up and he gave. He gave and he gave all the way to the cross. He gave his life. Body broken, blood shed. And we're gonna remember that at the end of the service today in communion. Poured out his life for others. He didn't hold back. What was the result? When he showed up, when he did this, he brought life. And he brought life to the full. And everyone he came in contact with that embraced him became full of life now and forevermore. Began to flow and teem with life. So Jesus is our example of how not to be spiritually stagnant. Contrast that to the Dead Sea. Why is the Dead Sea called dead? Because it can't produce life and it can't sustain life. And one of the main reasons it can't produce life or sustain life and it's dead is because, and the reason it's stagnant is because it doesn't have any outlets. Water comes in, it flows in, and it just stays there. It just kind of roar. I haven't done a sound effect in a while. My kids were liking that, but here it is. Roar. It just kind of flows in and blah. That's a better one. Blah. Blah. It's a Dead Sea. It can't produce life. It can't sustain life. It's dead. Why? No outlets. No flow happening in the Dead Sea. Nothing's flowing. It's coming in and stopping and becoming stagnant and stale. That's it. You see the lesson? See what we're trying to pull together here, what God's trying to show us? We need to develop outlets in our lives. So that God's grace, His goodness, His power can flow through us to other people, just as Jesus had those outlets for his power, his grace, and his love to flow through him to all humanity. We have to be like Christ in that. If we don't have outlets for what he's done in us, for God's grace and his power and his love and his goodness to flow through us, we will become spiritually stagnant. You can try to get more and more of God's goodness, but if you don't let it flow, you will become stagnant. You will. You know, when I saw this passage of scripture this Tuesday at men's meeting, 6:30 in the morning, we meet in the prayer room on Tuesday mornings. And we're going through the book of Philemon right now. It's a short one. It's great for guys like me, man. Just boom. And I got to verse 6. We're reading through it, and I look at verse 6. And this is what it said. And it just grabbed me on Tuesday morning. It said this. It said, I pray. Now, this is Paul praying for Philemon. This Philemon guy is a believer. Spirit-filled, awesome guy of God, okay? And he's saying this. He said, I pray, you, believer. I pray this over you, church, you spirit-filled, on fire, loving Jesus, church. I pray this over you, that you may be active in sharing your faith. Active in sharing your faith. Now, sometimes we think, active in sharing my faith means I just need to take the knowledge that God's given me about the gospel and share the knowledge with other people. And we equate faith with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But I'm here to present something. Faith is not just our knowledge and understanding of God. Faith is the fullness of God moving in our lives. It's our head, it's our heart, it's our emotions, it's our spirit. It's the fullness of God, what he's doing in us, transforming us, redeeming our whole selves. That's our faith. And we're to share that. Actively share your faith, Paul is saying. So that, why? Check this out. I love this. This is like, woo, God gave me this Tuesday. So that, why do we have to actively share, give, serve, pour out our faith? So that you will have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Jesus Christ. Do you see that connection? So we walk around and we go, I want more of God. I want the fullness of God. I want the fullness of God. And we're crying out, I want the fullness of God. And I'm going to go be in the prayer room and I'm going to fast. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to sing. I'm going to show up to church every single Sunday. I want the fullness of God. You'll never experience the fullness of God is what I'm reading right here in Scripture unless you're sharing your faith, unless you're pouring out your faith to others, unless you're sharing what God has poured into you with others, unless you have outlets in your life to allow what God has poured into you to flow into other people's lives. That's part of the fullness. That's part of the fullness. It's when we share our faith, when we give, when we serve, when we create those outlets and let God flow through us, that we're going to experience the fullness of God, all of his goodness. Again, the growing church, so fully alive, reproducing, teeming with life, joy, and happiness. And I said it a couple weeks ago, fun. Fun is good. Come on, be fun. Let's be a fun church. Teeming with all of those things is a church that's a serving church. We get this precept. We get this understanding. Furthermore, we remember the biblical precept of sowing and reaping. You're only going to reap what you sow. A life that's sowing love through serving others, Jesus' way, through serving others, is a life that's going to reap a harvest of God's blessings, of his favor, of his goodness, and ultimately the fullness of his life flowing and moving in us and through us. God will flow through a life in a church that's serving others. So the growing church is a serving church. I'm desperate for the flow of God. I don't know about you. Are you desperate for the flow of God? I'm desperate for it. I mean, I'm telling you, I told you before, I have been that stagnant Christian before. I've been there. I've done that. It's my past. And I have no plans on going back that way again. I'm not going to pass by that again and try that out again. Been there, done that. I don't have a t-shirt. I don't need a t-shirt. I don't want a t-shirt. I'm moving forward. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to remember that. I need to press on and press forward. I'm desperate for the flow of God. I've been spiritually selfish. I've been spiritually stingy. I've been that guy who just wants what God has for me. I've been that receiver. No more. I'm not going back. I want to move forward in all of this stuff. I want the full flow of God in my life. The other thing I've allowed I don't know about you, but I've allowed fear to mess around with me and keep me from experiencing the flow of God in my life. And it's sneaky. It's sneaky the way fear, you know, sometimes it's night terrors, but I'm not talking about that kind of fear. I'm talking about the kind of fear that jumps on you. God's opening a door for you to walk through, to use your faith, everything He's put in you, what He's done in your life, and He's opening a door and saying, go through that door and serve others. Go through that door and share it with others. He's making an outlet in your life. And all of a sudden, we start getting these thoughts, if you do that, Eric, it can burn you out. If you do that, it's going to change your schedule. If you do that, what's that going to do to your family? What's that going to do to your marriage? I mean, you're going to burn out. You just got to say no. It's not the right time in your life. And so we allow these thoughts of fear of what might happen. That's fear, by the way. Those kind of thoughts are trash. What kind of faith is that to think that God is calling us to do something and, oh no, we're going to crash and burn? So God is basically, instead of opening up an opportunity for you to bless others, He's just trying to create an opportunity for you to crash and burn? No. But I've let fear control me. Oh man, anyway. I'm done with it. I'm done with that. When we do that, we say no to the very thing that will bring us life. If we say no to the outlets that God is opening up, I'm not talking about just the busyness that we can start to imagine in our lives. I'm talking about the God-ordained outlets in our lives where we get to allow to flow what He's put in us into other people. I'm talking about real ministry stuff. I'm talking about real life stuff. I'm talking about real serving, real loving. We say no to that stuff. We're saying the very thing that brings us life, and we're staying trapped in the very thing that's causing us to become stagnant. Jesus showed us how to live. He gave, He served. God's grace is enough. Do you believe that? Yes. God's grace is enough. I trust Him. I trust Him. You know, God's word says that He will lead me beside still waters. There are going to be those times and seasons in His life where, man, it's just like, oh, yeah. But then, you know what? He's also there with me as He's allowing me to walk through the valleys, the shadow of death, and where things are a little bit more difficult. He's still there with me. Walking with me, sustaining me. I'm not going to go run and try to be God and say, I'm going to run and try to find all the still waters all the time because that's where God is. That's not what God's word says. God's word doesn't say that. He says, come follow me. And it's going to be exciting. It's going to be hard. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. It's going to blow your minds, man. That's the kind of life that God wants us to have. As His children, exciting lives, not safe lives, exciting lives, full of life kind of lives. I want you to know this, though, because you could be listening and going, oh, Eric, that's him, and he's just so crazy and passionate. And, dude, I've been there before. I've been around the block. I've been in churches. I've been burnt out. I've been abused and used until I just don't have any more in me. I want to tell you what, it is our complete desire and it's our culture and it is the leadership's heart that we would never allow that to happen. That we would never allow the ministry of this church to negatively affect your family, negatively affect your marriage. That is never what we want to be about at all. Never. We believe that you doing what God's called you to do is going to enhance your family, is going to bless your marriage as you bring them along with you, as you incorporate it as part of your life, as you show one another and link with one another at what it really means to be a child of God, a follower of His and part of His kingdom purposes. So just know this and always know this. If you're ever feeling like, man, I'm getting burnt out, or I'm about at the end and this is just too much, or it's negatively affecting my family or negatively affecting my marriage, please talk to one of the elders in the church, like right away. Because we love you. And our heart for you is life. Life to the full. That's our heart. But I've tasted and seen that the Spirit of God and the love of God and the blessing of God flows through a life that allows Him to move, flows through a life that will serve, flows through a life that will give and give and give. Like I said, I've been on the other side, that stagnant side, that selfish, stingy side. just doesn't work. I'm passionate about this kind of stuff. I'm getting really excited about this. And I'm excited and passionate about sharing this with my church family and calling my church family to this kind of life because I love you and I want you to experience the fullness of all the goodness that God has for you. I don't want you to end, finish the race and go, well, what if I would have just gone all in? What if I would have just taken that baton and run that leg of the race? I don't want you to do that. I want you to experience all that God has for you. I want you to be fully alive in Him. And I want those lost people that are going to be coming to Christ out of darkness because you're grabbing that baton, I want them in the family of God too. That's why I'm passionate about this. That's why the Lord's calling us to this kind of life. Because this is real life. Full life. In his farewell address to the elders in Ephesus, Paul writes, he says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, I know we're Americans, but still, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself that said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You see, the giver is happier than the getter. That's just the way the economy works in God's kingdom. The giver is happier than the getter. And I'm going to tell you what, this is a happy church. It is. This is a happy church teeming with life, even right now, because it's full of those who give, who share. And this church is about to get happier. It's about to get happier because we have more opportunities that are coming and they're being presented to us. To give. He's bringing new outlets for us. New outlets for us to open. To embrace. For His Spirit. For His kingdom to flow through us. So I'm here to announce that we have new opportunities. We're about to get happier and more blessed. Why? Because of this. I'm going to turn this around now so you're going to see it. And I'm sure some of you have already guessed it. But I hope nobody peeked. Right, Jen? All right. So this is why we're about to get happier. And more blessed. So, come on. Look at this. Beginning December 6th, that's the first Sunday of December, we have another outlet for the flow of God. We have an opportunity to make room for those that God wants to add into His family. We have an opportunity to step up as the body of Christ and to serve one another. We have the opportunity to step into to places of leadership, of places of service. We have the opportunity to see God's kingdom continue to flow and expand and grow. We're going to go to two services beginning December 6th. Our first service is going to be at 9 in the morning. Our second is going to be at 11 in the morning. The second service, again, represents us opening another outlet for the life of God to flow in us and through us. God has been increasing our numbers here at Evident Life Church. He's just been doing it. We remember and we always know that it is God who grows His church. It's not fancy programs. It's not what we can do and more lights and fog. We don't, you know, whatever. God is growing His church and He's been growing this church, Evident Life. This room has approximately 260 chairs in it. We could try to fit more in here, but it would start to get a little uncomfortable and awkward. We've had two services in the past month. We've had 220 people here. 220 people represents 85% capacity. Studies show that at 80% capacity, the room feels full. At 80% capacity, people begin to feel as though there's not enough room for them. And we can't have that message going out to anybody that, you know what, we already kind of got our little team here, our little clique, we got it all together. We have to send the message to everyone that we have room for you. God's family has room for you. Now, there were different ways that we could do this. We could build another worship center on our property. Well, we just bought this building, and that's a little early for that kind of aggressive project. And it does cost a little bit of money to do that, just if you didn't know. We could just try to all cram in here or create other rooms like the fellowship hall and just pump the sermon into there and have a kind of an overflow room and operate that way. God's not leading us to do that, to have some people in this room watching it on TV, another in this room. We could blow out this wall over here and we can expand the size of the sanctuary. And if God continues to add to our numbers, that's probably the next step. But the most feasible thing that we can do right now to quickly make room for others is to have two services. And I know some think, oh no, I'm not going to get to see my whole church family every week. And I get that. But yes, you will. You will. If you embrace what we've just been learning from God's word, if we as a church family embrace Jesus's way of living, that it's better to give than to receive, if we embrace this servant mentality of serving one another, of sowing into each other's lives and then reaping what God wants to do through that, if we begin to embrace this kind of life, what we're going to find is we're going to find that we're going to get to be with our whole church family every Sunday morning. Because either I'm worshiping next to you and just ministering alongside of you, or I'm serving alongside of you and serving you as you are going in to worship. We get to be together one way or the other. And the best way that we're together is we get to serve one another, care for one another, share our time with one another. I want us to think about God's culture. I want us to think about God's economy. I want us to think about how God does life, how Jesus did life when he walked on this earth. He didn't look for how I could just quickly in and out. He went all in and he came in to serve. I want us to look at that even on Sunday mornings. I'm just throwing this out there because I feel like I need to. I want to envision us for a whole nother way of thinking. That you know what? We have the opportunity to see the flow of God increase because we have the opportunity to serve literally every single Sunday morning. And to receive every Sunday morning. So you could give every week and receive every week. And I'm going to tell you what, God's exchange rate is always better than anything else you're going to get out there. If you deposit into the kingdom through serving one another, the exchange rate of that is great. It's huge. It's beautiful. We get to sow weekly, give weekly, and in exchange, receive weekly. I'm reminded of a song that was inspired by the words of St. Francis of Assisi. And this is a paraphrase of what St. Francis said, but it's in a song form. And I've heard it many times, and I'm going to kind of sing it this morning. I'm a little under the weather, but bear with me. I'm not going to belt it out or anything. But it goes like this. It is in giving that we receive. And it is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Make me an instrument of your peace. I want to know what it's like to follow you. When men look at me, I want them to see the light of the world inside. It's in giving that we receive. And when people see God's people giving and serving and loving extravagantly the way Jesus taught us to, it will draw them to them. I'd like to take this opportunity to respond to what God's telling us by taking communion together. I think this is really appropriate that this message and communion are happening on the same Sunday, because I believe what this will help us understand is to connect to that true reality of the cross that Jesus gave. And he gave and he gave. That Jesus shared his faith. He shared his life with us. That he served us by willingly going to the cross. His body was broken. His blood was spilled. He gave. He gave. Amazing things happened when we give. When Jesus gave, when he went to the cross and he gave, people were brought out of darkness. When he gave, eternity was changed. I want to encourage you, as we're going to remember Jesus and his giving, that when we too, who are in Christ Jesus, his ambassadors, his salt and light, his family, his God's children now in Christ Jesus, that when we give and allow God to flow through us, that supernatural things also happen. That truly the life of Jesus Christ will flow through us into other people's lives and have that same effect of people coming out of darkness and salvation coming to people through Christ Jesus. Because his church, his bride, gave and served and shared.